Lakers lose to the Pelicans, 128-111, the final score, 28-16 on the season. Obviously a tough road for the Lake Show, and I'm sure there's a lot of Laker fans out there. It's kind of a combination here. I'm sure there's Laker fans that are frustrated, but also at the same time, we understand the predicament, the situation. The situation is LeBron James and Anthony Davis are not playing. So I'm not here to, you know, try to list off 40 different excuses, but I think what makes this incredibly interesting is the trade deadline is this Thursday. So does that mean that the Lakers should be making some type of a move, not only because you want to obviously compete and try and defend your back-to-back championship or a chance to go back-to-back, but also because you want to stay in some type of contention here and have games over the next 30 days or so where you're competing against your competition. You know, what I've seen at least over these last three games, LeBron leaves in the second quarter against the Atlanta Hawks. We know what happens in the second half. It becomes no game. Lakers really never in it against the Phoenix Suns. And after the first quarter tonight against the Pelicans, they're not in this one either. What I see is that I don't really see much changing here from a competition perspective as we go forward until we get those other players back in this lineup. We don't know what that timing is, but it is pretty interesting that Thursday's trade deadline is this Thursday, that the timing is now that LeBron got hurt rather than if it was a week from now and you know you don't have the option of making another move or whatever the case is. We've always known the Lakers were interested in the buyout market. We always know, you know, John was referencing something during the broadcast about how great Pelinka was last season, where they got Markieff Morris and J.R. Smith was added, a few different players that were added, and we know how big Markieff was. This is a critical few days for the Lakers, and I think a lot of people are curious to see how it plays out. Okay, I want to do a couple things in this post-game show. By the way, this will be an extended post-game show. Trade deadline coming up this Thursday. There's a lot to get into, and I know a lot of Laker fans want to be a part of it tonight. 877-710-ESPN. Give us your thoughts on the game. And I would say just as important, if not more important, how do you think the Lakers handle these next 48 hours or so before that game against Philadelphia on Thursday? We're going to find out a lot more from this Lakers team. Let me take a quick call here. Let's start off with Ken in Orange County. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, Alan. Yeah, you made a really good point, and I'm going to touch on that. But as far as the deadline, you know, I kind of scratched my head at the beginning of the year because KD is a great player, but after this is over this year, he's going to be averaging 18 missed games per year. And if you know that, and it was a short off season and going into a regular season, maybe it would have been a good idea to keep a shot-blocking, rebounding center. And hopefully that's one of the things that can change. Now, the point you made is about LeBron. People don't realize that it's more than him scoring. Because when he's on the court, they're double-teaming or triple-teaming, and he's finding guys wide open, and they're making shots. Now, the problem is we see that maybe other than Montrezl, we don't have that many guys that can find their own shot. And it really, really shows how important and why he's an MVP when he's not out there.
Ken, I appreciate you calling in. I'll go a step further than that. You know, sometimes they say, in the NFL, they say the quarterback is the most important position in football. And there's a few reasons for it. Somebody might say, well, he's only playing the offensive end. There's two sides of the football. Why do you think he's the most important? A bad quarterback can screw a defense, too, in the process, where a couple turnovers, the defense, it might look like they gave up more points than they really did. A good quarterback, they control the ball. You might have drives where in a second quarter you had a 10-minute drive and it was 15 plays and it's a perfect combination of running and throwing and you get the other defense tired. LeBron James is not just, you know, I'm using that as an example of people might look at him and say, well, the guy's only impacting the offensive side of the ball at this stage of his career because he's 25-8-8 or whatever the case is. The true reality is, the absolute reality is, LeBron is just as effective and important on both sides of the floor because of how the control and the pace that he has on the offensive side and the communication that he has on the defensive side for the Lakers. So Obviously, this is not much of a surprise to see the Lakers so quickly fall the way they are right now, 0-3 since LeBron went down. Okay, I want to get to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, and I want to get his thoughts on this Lakers loss. I encourage you, Laker fans, if you want to be a part of the postgame show, start calling in right now, and we'll make sure to get you throughout the show, 877-710-ESPN. Here's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel on the 128-111 loss of the Pelicans.
Hey, Frank, how do you analyze this game based on what your expectations of play are with the given circumstances of guys out and so on?
Yeah, I think, we've had a lot of emphasis on the offensive side of the ball the last couple of days since losing LeBron. And with Anthony being out, and I thought we had some growth, some real growth, some real positives about what we did offensively. We had a stretch in that second quarter where we hit a big drought, which really hurt us in this game. But with all the emphasis on the offensive end and seeing that type of growth, we didn't play well enough defensively, period, and particularly the third quarter. So we're going to miss guys like that, like Ron and AD on both sides of the ball. And, getting us organized offensively is really probably my top priority right now. And I know we can tighten the screws defensively, but we got to be better on that end.
And Frank, with the day off before the back-to-back, do you have any idea yet if you could get some help back with Mark returning, or are you not focused on that yet and still figuring out a way to piece together what you have?
Yeah, that's on the medical team to keep working with him and his his build back up to return to play. So we'll see. Until they tell me he's cleared, this is the group that we got, and we got to go win a game Thursday night.
Okay, Dave McMenamin.
Frank, a handful of NBA teams have been reported to have received the COVID-19 vaccine, including your opponent tonight. Has there been any progress or opportunities for the Lakers to do that as a group?
Not yet. We're still waiting. There's been some talk about trying to get it, but we're not there yet.
Thanks.
Okay, Brad Turner, please.
Hello, Frank. You guys are playing really hard. So, what's going to be the key to keep these guys from getting discouraged?
Oh, we're staying positive. We've got a great belief in this group. Even with AD and Bron out, that we can win games during this stretch, and that there's going to be a silver lining to it at the end of it. The growth that we exhibit, over the next X amount of games, where we're shorthanded, will pay dividends for us down the stretch. And we're going to remain positive. We're going to keep playing super hard like we did tonight. And we just got to execute better and collect as many wins along the way as we can. But our group's going to remain positive.
Okay, Dan Wyke, please.
Hey, Frank. Do you expect big changes in this roster? But following Thursday, is that an expectation that you have? And I guess, kind of, are there even based on the pro? I mean, it's not like you can go replace LeBron or Anthony Davis at the trade deadline. Is there a type of player that could even help right now?
I don't know what type of player. I mean, there's always, types of players that can help you. But the biggest thing is we just have to get healthy, So my expectation, those conversations are for the front office. My expectation is, we're going to win games with this group. And I believe in the group that we have, if nothing happens, we're going to win games. We'll figure out a way to win games during this stretch. And it'll benefit us during the long run. So, I'm not sure if we'll see any changes or not. I would probably... Most trade deadline situations, there's a lot of talks that result in nothing. And, that's my expectation as a coach.
Okay, Kyle Goon, please.
Hey, Frank. Just wondering what went into the decision to give Devontae a shot at his first NBA start. Is it a viable option going forward as long as Mark is out? And how tough is it when, he's physically giving up a ton of weight to guys like Steven Adams and Zion Williamson to encourage him through that?
Yeah, the 48 minutes is the big picture. And, Tate can beat guys with his, he has advantages in other ways, with his speed, running the floor, defensive activity. And I thought he played a good basketball game tonight. So, it's just one of those things. You're shorthanded. You fall on the guys that you need. And, you work these stretch and, if it's a situation where, like Trez, it's better off to keep him in as well coming off the bench and play big minutes that way. You know, that's a decision we'll continue to make on a game-to-game basis. But I thought Tate played a good basketball game.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. Lakers lose to the Pelicans, 128-111. When we come back, we'll take some of your calls. I'll read off some of your tweets as well. I know I got a ton of tweets here. At Alan Sliwa on Twitter, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bledsoe dribbling, goes left side to Brandon Ingram. Now hands it to Alexander Walker, who tried to throw it into Zion, and Devontae Kaycock steals it. Back come the Lakers the other way. KCP, give it to Kuz. Three-pointer by Kuzma, good. And the Lakers lead 3-0.
All right, good start for the Lakers. Devontae Kaycock, by the way, got the start for the Lake Show. Defensively for the Lakers, they did end up with 10 steals and 4 block shots, so not bad. You actually would think that it was a much better defensive game, but they give up 128 points. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. I want to go to the phone call or to a couple calls here real quick. Let's start off with Daniel in Fairfax. What's going on, Daniel?
Hi, how are you?
Good, man. Thank you for calling in.
When I look at the Lakers in the 1960s, especially with Elgin Baylor, and when they went to small, they would always try to get in to get the guys fouled out. And when you're down by as many points as that, three-point backs just don't do it, especially if you have nobody near the basket to rebound. So instead of going for three-pointers, they should go in, go for the two-pointers, and get fouled. I don't see that in this team. All I see is shooting, and the defense was terrible because they've forgotten how to defend. And that's what bothers me about this team. If they really took it from Elgin Baylor and the Lakers in the 60s, they would play much better, even small. Because look at the Bruins. The Bruins don't have a big man, and yet they share the ball and make sure they get the best shot.
Well, Daniel, let me just kind of remind you here, and I appreciate you calling in. They also don't have any big men. I mean, Marc Gasol is obviously out. Anthony Davis is obviously out. And Michael emphasized this a number of different times as well. The key was coming into the game. It was on the defensive side. So I don't disagree with you. Yes, points in the paint, it was plus 30 for the Pelicans. Rebounding, it was plus 19 for the Pelicans. But I think it's easier said than done. If Marc Gasol and Anthony Davis are in this game, the Pelicans don't outscore the Lakers by 30 in the paint. They don't out-rebound the Lakers by 19. Keep that in mind. You know, sometimes when teams have injuries, and the Lakers have obviously big-time injuries right now, and let me throw LeBron in the mix there. LeBron's going to get you 8 to 10 rebounds a game as well. Sometimes it gets you 13 or 14. It might sound like sometimes I'm making excuses when I'm talking about these injuries. These are significant injuries. So I get it. Be frustrated. Completely understand. Let me read off a quick tweet here. This is a perfect example. Alex Trin on Twitter says, "This season already lost." I'm lost when I read messages like that. I kind of sit back for a quick second. I start wondering if people are putting into value what this team is missing and why the road just got so much more difficult. I think a much more interesting conversation would be what the Lakers should do by the time Thursday comes up. Let's go to Will in San Pedro. Will, thank you for calling in, bud. You're on the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm disappointed. Always disappointed when you lose, when you get smacked down like we did today. But I'm more or less calling about the trade deadline. We're obviously not going to probably be able to make many moves. But if we strike out in the buyout market with Drummond, Ellington, or any of these other guys, what do you think the chances are they bring back Damian Jones?
So, and I appreciate the call, and actually I think that's a great topic. I was a fan of Damian Jones. I was doing Lakers talk last night, and I spent a full segment just talking about how I liked his play. I thought Damian Jones was great for the Lakers. Actually, I would get excited for a quick second there. I would start talking about, you know, I'd spent a little time talking about how Damian Jones, I started envisioning before his second 10-day contract was up, I started envisioning Marc Gasol, Montrezl Harrell, Anthony Davis, Damian Jones. Hey, I think we got some size. I think you actually got some options there. Markieff is another guy that they could use during smaller lineups. So I was a fan of Damian Jones. Was he the next Hakeem Olajuwon? No, he wasn't. But he knew his role. He understood almost like a young JaVale McGee. I think that's the example Michael gave during one of the broadcasts. And when I look at him specifically and his role with the Lakers, I definitely thought that there was an opportunity that he could be a good fit. Here's the reality. If Damian Jones was not kept for the rest of the season, there has to be a reason for that. And the reason is the Lakers think they can do better. Or at least they're going to try to find out if they can do better. I'm going to read off a quote because after the Lakers lost to the Suns, or this was prior to the game, coach was asked about Damian Jones. He said, "With DJ, the door's not closed. But we're going to use this time, this window of time here, approaching the trade deadline and buyout market to maintain our flexibility during this stretch and see what's ahead for us." So I mention that because it does not mean that by not signing Damian Jones for the rest of the season that the Lakers can't potentially go back to Damian Jones. I don't want Laker fans to think that that door is closed and there's no chance for it. But obviously the Lakers thought they can potentially grab a better center, a more impact center. Of course, the name that we keep talking about, and we'll see what's going to happen here in a short amount of window, the name that everybody's waiting on is Andre Drummond. That's the question. Will Andre Drummond end up with the Lakers? Will he end up with another contender? But the Lakers are obviously shooting. That's the home run that the Lakers are shooting for. There's other names that have been thrown out as well. Hassan Whiteside, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMarcus Cousins. You've heard other names, and I'm just talking about big men. I think the Lakers, if they strike out, hypothetically, if they ended up striking out in, you know, obviously in the free agency market and or in the trade deadline and the buyout market, then maybe Damian Jones is still an option. And if he is an option, I don't think that's a bad backup option. I really don't. I don't think that's a terrible backup option. Okay, a couple of things I want to line up here. I know we got a lot of people on hold here, so I'm going to take some phone calls in the when we come back. 877-710-ESPN. Montrezl Harrell had a nice game for the Lakers, and he continues to have, you know, obviously effective games. Another 18 points and 6 rebounds, 5 of 10 from the field, 8 of 12 from the free throw line. When we come back, we'll get a chance to hear from Montrezl Harrell. We'll get a chance to hear from all the Lakers in tonight's postgame show and see how the Lakers get back on track. They're 28-16 now, and they lose to the Pelicans 128-111. Stay right here, Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory-direct, high-quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how, locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. Lakers lose 128-111, the final score. Points in the Paint, 62-32. Pelicans plus 30. Obviously, a big-time advantage for the Pelicans. Let me take a couple phone calls here before we get to Montrezl Harrell. Danny in L.A., what's going on, Danny?
How you doing, Alan? Thank you for taking my call. One thing that's hurting us, I know we need the size. You bring out Marc Gasol, but really, Marc Gasol really hasn't done nothing all year. But my thing is the three-point shooting. We can't go ahead and expect KCP to show up and Matthews and all these guys. You know, I mean, we got to do something with that.
Well, what's weird too, Danny, and this is not the game, which is a little bit surprising, and I appreciate you calling in. Lakers shot 48% from three today, but it felt like every three that they hit, it was, you know, when the game was already done, it was already a blowout. And I'm not here. I'm definitely not going to be one that's, you know, going to stand here and defend KCP or defend Wesley Matthews this year. Wesley Matthews, by the way, had a good game tonight, 5 of 9. 14 points at 4 threes, but we've gone plenty of games where Wes Matthews was missing his shots, wasn't hitting those threes. Let me key in for a quick second on KCP, because I think Kentavious you know, that's the one player for the Lakers where most people are frustrated, because we thought KCP was going to take another step this year. In the offseason, he signs a three-year, $40 million deal, making around $13 million a year. I think it's 12, 13, and 14 over the next 3 years. And coming off that NBA bubble, this was one of our Ask MT questions. I told Michael, after Trez, after THT, after Kuzma, after Dennis Schroeder, who's the guy? Who's the guy that you think's got to really step up in this time without LeBron, AD, and some of these other guys? He said KCP. John, he said KCP. I tweeted out, it's KCP. I think every Laker fan, you know, would agree that you want to see more from KCP. It sucks to say it, but the guy's not getting the job done, and we're rooting for KCP. I mean, KCP in the bubble I thought was so fantastic, and you're rooting for the guy. You want to see him succeed. He's a Laker. He's been on the Lakers for this is his fourth season in a row now. He's obviously had impact in that playoff run, and this year he has not lived up to the expectations that we all assumed he was going to. And that's a tough one to swallow. The Wesley Matthews part, you know, we're just talking about some of the shooting for the Lakers, how awful it's been. The Wesley Matthews part, I thought this guy was going to take over for Danny Green. You know, a lot of the conversation was like, man, Danny Green was making $15 million a year. Wesley Matthews about $3.5 million. We're getting Wesley Matthews to play Danny Green's role at the fraction of the price. And Wesley Matthews has not been consistent by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, tonight, nice game, was 4-for-8 from the three-point line, but for the most part, he has not been consistent. Let me squeeze in one more quick call here. Paul in Orange County. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, brother. I love your show.
Thank you, man.
And I want to talk about Dennis Schroeder, because it is basically puzzling the way he's playing, and the pundits are calling him the third best option in the Lakers, and I know that he refused already to sign a good contract offered by the Lakers, from what I heard from the media. And unfortunately, he disappeared. I mean, since AD went down and now LeBron is out, he's not showing up.
He had a bad.
Yep.
He had a bad game today, I would say. And Paul, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to get to Montrezl Harrell here in just a second. He had a bad game today. Today he struggled. He was 2 of 10 from the field, did hit 10 free throws, did have 7 assists and 2 steals, 15 points. But I don't think he's been – I think we'd be overreacting if we thought he's been overly bad. You know what I noticed with Dennis Schroeder? When he was out for 4 games, health and safety protocols, Lakers lost all 4 of those games. And I'm not saying that he's the all and be all. But I think he's an impactful player. I really do. And as far as his contract goes, you're right. He has said in the past that that's not something they want it to be fair. They want it to be at the right time. And listen, I think if you're the Lakers too, you could wait on Dennis Schroeder. I think with a lot of these guys this year, Montrezl Harrell's got an option, a player option at the end of the season. He's probably going to go get paid, and he deserves it if that is the case. I guess I'm just not as worried about the future right now, because – you got a chance to win a championship right now. And there aren't too many windows, you know, obviously where you're in that position. So I'm not too concerned about the offseason or next year or anything like that. More concerned about Thursday coming up and what the Lakers do, trade deadline in the buyout market. Montrez tonight, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 5 of 10 from the field, played 34 minutes. Here's Montrezl Harrell on the Lakers' 17-point loss to the Pelicans.
Hey, Montrez. Obviously, two big reasons why the team struggled tonight. No LeBron, no AD. What else comes to your mind when you think of the game that was just played, for reasons why you guys couldn't quite get there?
Man, we missed a lot of easy shots tonight. We couldn't get the three ball to really fall for us. Man, we had definitely some defensive breakdowns and things that we wanted to kind of take away and kind of make them uncomfortable with that we didn't do. At the end of the day, man, we just got to keep playing. We just got to keep playing, man. Can't worry about, you know, the things that we don't have or the pieces that aren't here at that point in time. We know this is what it is, man. We got to stick together. We got to band together. We got to fight, man. That's all it is. Like I, you know, said in the last time I did meet him, man, we're not looking to drop games or just, you know, hold on until, you know, these guys come back, man. We're trying to compete and still, you know, win games.
Yeah, looked like AD was working out a little bit before the game. Have you talked to him lately? Does he feel optimistic about a return at some point relatively soon?
Me, myself, talking to him, I definitely feels like, looking at him and just speaking to him, man, he's ready to kind of get back out there, you know, whenever, really. But, I mean, it's a different, you know, type of injury, so they're definitely going to take precautions. And, you know, they keep telling him, and, you know, he's got to understand, I guess I had him in this injury, but it's one of those ones where you feel good and feel like you're able to do the things you're accustomed to, but, you know, it's just still one of those things you got to kind of ease into, so. You know, the doctors know what's best for him. He knows what's best for himself as an athlete. Like I said, as a competitor, I know he wants to be out there and just do everything he can to help us, you know, get back on track, you know, but he's doing everything he can off the court as vocally as he can. Timeouts, you see him talking, feeling with us and breaking down different things and how things went. So he's still here with us even when he's on the floor.
Montrez, obviously a tough but quick road trip. Now you come back, you play Philadelphia on Thursday. They lead the East. It's kind of like there's no let up in sight. How do you guys rebound in time for that one?
We got to go home. We got to get our preparation. We got to get our rest. Get prepared to win the basketball game, man. We're pros, man. This isn't – only thing that's different about this season, man, is the less amount of games we play, and we're on the COVID protocol, man. This is no different from if it was a regular season. We'll have a back-to-back, and, you know, it might be this team. You know, injuries are – what's going to happen in the season, man. So the injuries aren't COVID, you know. So it's just something we got to deal with, something we got to try to keep getting better at and keep growing at. I think, you know, we just got to keep – this is the time where we really got to band together as a team and as a group.
All right, that's Montrezl Hale right there. A few things to take away from what he said. You know, I think it's I enjoy and I appreciate watching Montrezl Hale. The dude does it every single possession. It's as if it's his last possession, and the effort is always there. The question now is just, the Lakers got enough talent? You got Philly coming in on Thursday. They're up 20 right now against the Warriors without Joel Embiid. The road is not going to get any easier for the Lakers, so let's just put it that way. When we come back, I want to read off a few of these tweets. I think there's some interesting tweets here that obviously link up with this Lakers loss, and Kyle Kuzma, who had almost a triple-double, 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. We'll get a chance to hear from him as well. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
128-111, Lakers lose to the Pelicans. We're going to get to Kyle Kuzma here in just a second. If you want to be a part of the postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. I put out a tweet here, and I want to read off a few of the responses. Do the Lakers have to make a move by Thursday's deadline? Chuck Wagon on Twitter, they don't need to make a move. They need to get healthy. There's no savior out there. Injuries are the one and only reason they are not doing well right now. You know, I thought there was something interesting that Coach said. We heard Coach a few minutes earlier, and he said that, you know, there could be a silver lining of what's happening right now. And I was trying to tell this to Michael, and, you know, he agreed in the pregame show that if you just look at the position and the predicament that the Lakers are in, I mean, if I go to the standings right now, and I'm going to go to I'm going to check out the NBA standings simply because – it's obviously, it could be a free fall for the Lakers over the next 30 days or so. I would say the silver lining is this. You look at the Lakers, they've fallen now to fourth place in the Western Conference. So they were second before Anthony Davis or before LeBron James went down with his injury. So in just three games, the Lakers go from second to fourth. The reason why they're fourth, by the way, Clippers are 28-16, Lakers are 28-16, head-to-head. Clippers have a win. That's the reason why. Plus, Atlanta blew a freaking 22-point lead yesterday against the Clippers. That doesn't help the Lakers as well. So here are the Lakers in fourth place now. Denver is just a game and a half behind the Lakers. Portland is just two games behind the Lakers. San Antonio, it's four games, but in the loss column, it's only two games. Remember, San Antonio, I think, has played a lot less games. They were one of the few teams that had a lot of cancellations in the first half of the season or postponements. So when you really start looking at the standings right now, it might look like the Lakers have some cushion. They have some room to work with, which technically they do. But the reality is, in a week from now, you know, the standings could look a lot different if Lakers go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak, something along those lines. And, you know, when I put out a tweet, should the Lakers make some type of a move by the deadline, what obviously what I'm referring to now, which this was not the conversation before LeBron James got injured, is a move not only to try and strengthen your chances at winning an NBA championship or to address a specific need like a rim protector or maybe another outside shooter or a 3-and-D guy, whatever the case is. You got to go make a move by Thursday just to keep where you are in the standings, just to play 500 ball. I don't know if much is going to change if the Lakers obviously, if LeBron and Anthony Davis aren't coming back soon. I don't know if Kuzma and Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell and all these other players, they're going to fight, but that doesn't mean they're going to win games. The Pelicans were 18 and 24. At one point, they were up 30-plus points in this game, so it just kind of shows, obviously, how big of a difference. Kuz tonight, I mentioned, good stat line, did have 6 turnovers, by the way, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 6 turnovers. Here's Kuz on the Lakers' 17-point loss.
I think you have to turn to first after experiencing these last 2 games and just trying to figure out how to hold water until you get LeBron and AD back into an extent, Mark.
Well, for starters, we gotta play the right way. I think that's the number one thing, because when those guys get back, that's how we're gonna have to play the right way. So, that's offensively and defensively. You know, we gotta be connected on defense, you know, following the game plan, following, our defensive terminology. And offensively, we got to just play the right way. Play extra pass. Trust your next teammate. I think tonight we played really good in that first quarter. It seemed like everybody was playing the right way, and then we kind of drifted off from that. And during this time, we can't let that happen. Doesn't matter who scores, who has the most rebounds, assists, whatever. You know, we got to find out ways to win and continue to have good habits.
Kuz, it's been a while now since you were on the Laker teams, right, that struggled some. And how do you kind of keep that mentality out? Is that something you think you could see as being any kind of an issue, or do you think that everything's going to be just fine and stable in the locker room here?
We'll see. We don't know. You know, we got the trade deadline coming up. Once we get past that, we'll see where we're at. And, hopefully we can just continue to stay level-headed, and we just have the right mindset out there. I think that's just what we have to do during this time.
Okay, Dave McMenamin, please.
Kuz, Frank felt like there was strides made on offense tonight, but obviously defensively, especially the points of the paint, was somewhere you struggled. Do you think you guys need – like some practice time? Stuff's come obviously fast and furious. You had the back-to-back this weekend and then third game in 4 nights. Could regrouping and kind of going over things help figure out the game plan while you have guys out?
That would be great in a perfect world, but that's not the situation that we're in. We have games every other day, so we can't necessarily have practices and, kind of go full throttle. We have play Thursday, Friday, day off, Sunday. So, that's just how the NBA schedule is right now. So, really, we have to learn on the fly, and kind of the games are our practice right now. So, it's all about, kind of shifting your mind and your mindsets just to, be that way on the fly. And it's up to us to do that.
Okay, Kyle Goon, please.
Hey, Kuz. I have 2 unrelated questions, if you're willing to indulge me. First, Mike referenced, you were a part of the team where you went through that stretch without LeBron back in 2019. Do you feel like this team has any inherent advantages compared to that team back then to kind of get through this time?
I'm not sure. I think that we have better pieces in that team for sure. But we just have to figure out just
our new style of play. Really, I think that's a big thing for us. One, we're undersized right now. You know, we have bodies out, and then on top of that, you know, like I said, you know, kind of switching that mental and then switching our offensive profile a little bit would really help too. You know, this team, it was constructed for playing off of LeBron and Anthony Davis. So, you know, for us, you know, we got to switch the script and, you know, shoot more threes and get up and down more and have more pace and play together. You know, that's the challenge that we have right now.
And just secondly, I was wondering if you might tell us a little bit more about your interactions with Elgin and your thoughts on his passing yesterday.
Elgin, you said?
Yeah.
Elgin. Yes. Oh, Elgin. Yeah. Man, you know, he's one of the pillars of not only Lakers basketball, but of NBA history. You know, one of the greatest players of all time. You know, one in this league and, you know, one of the greatest players, you know, and for me, to be here in LA and, you know, during my time and just being able to meet one of the greats, you know, I love it. You know, anytime I can meet people before my time that paved the way for, you know, me and others to be in this league, you know, it's huge. You know, I saw a crazy, crazy stat about him the other day that said, I think this is 1961. He was enlisted in the Army, so he could only play on the weekends. And averaged 39-19 for the season. Only played 46 games, something like that. That's an unbelievable stat, and that just shows you, you know, how great he was as a player. But he was a great man too. So,
okay, thanks, Kyle. And the last question is going to be Dan Wyke, please.
Hey, Cruz. I guess you know. You mentioned that this was a team that was built to play off of LeBron and AD. Obviously, they're both not here. You're not going to practice. Like, are you guys prepared to take some lumps, I guess, in this stretch? Is that being realistic?
Yeah, you got to be realistic. You know, when you don't have, obviously, Anthony out here, which is, you know, our primary offensive player, or, you know, essentially number one option who we look at, and then having Bron out is tough because, you know, that's, you know, someone that makes shots, communicates on defense all the time, a true playmaker. So, you know, it's a challenge, but, you know, it's not nothing that we can't overcome. So I think, you know, we just got to continue to look at the drawing board and continue just to trust each other and, try to play for one another on both sides of the ball. And I think that if we can do that, you know, we can give ourselves a chance every single night. And that's the challenge we're up against. And, you know, just got to strap it up and go.
All right, that's Kyle Kuzma right there. 128-111, the final score, Pelicans over the Lakers. This coverage on ESPN LA 710 is brought to you by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles Lincoln dealership for sales and for service. You know, 28-16 is the record that the Lakers have, and I know a lot of us are going to complain is not the right word, but there's some frustration. And I thought Kuzma was really real right there as far as expectations. When you're missing Anthony Davis, LeBron James, throw Marc Gasol in there as well, whether Marc Gasol has been the exact player that we were hoping for this season, still a 7-footer that can help grab some rebounds and at least persuade some defenders or offensive players to not come into the paint. When you're missing those type of players, this is going to be a tough stretch. When we come back, a couple more tweets that I want to read. I'll take your phone calls as well, 877-710-ESPN. We'll get a chance to hear from KCP. Magic Johnson was on earlier this morning on First Take. I thought he had some interesting comments, so we'll do all that coming up next. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers 28-16 on the season. Pelicans now 19-24. They beat the Lakers by 17, 128-111. Let me grab a quick phone call here. Kenny in Tarzana, what's going on, Kenny?
So I had the privilege of watching Elgin at the end of his career.
probably for about 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And Chick would talk about the corkscrew. And I also had the opportunity of meeting him later on in his life. And I told him that I thought Kobe, you know, Robert likes the Kobe and Jordan comparisons. But I said that, you know, Kobe reminded me of him. Hmm. He really didn't disagree, just the way that he would hang in the air. That's what Elton was known for, hanging in the air and just unbelievable body control. I remember one game, Trey West had 43, hmm. and Elgin also had 43. And they're just an amazing tandem. I also just went last week, I talked about LeBron and MVP. I'll tell you where he got ripped off. Mm-hmm. 2015 NBA Finals. Jerry West was the MVP. First year they gave it out in the NBA Finals, 68-69. LeBron deserved it in 2015. He led all teams in rebounds, assists, and points. They gave it to Iguodala, you'll recall.
Kenny, so
that's the one complaint.
I appreciate you calling in. What he's referring to there was actually the NBA Finals MVP. Iguodala got it. Jerry West was the only player to win Finals MVP after losing in an NBA Finals. Real quick, what Kenny was mentioning right there, he talked about comparisons with Kobe. Kobe had such a great interview with Jackie McMullen years ago where he's talking about how Elgin Baylor was Dr. J before Dr. J, before, you know, he was Jordan before Jordan. It just some of these comparisons that you're hearing, you know, some of these names that were being thrown around. Michael told a fantastic story today about how in, I think it was 1990, something along those lines, he's waiting for, or maybe it was even earlier, he's on the plane and he's waiting for the rest of the team to come. And he asked Chick Hearn, Chick, who's the greatest Laker that you've ever seen play? And he said, without hesitating, he said Elgin Baylor. So just kind of show some of the love and respect. Elgin Baylor's obviously got these last 24 hours. And, you know, obviously I'm sure means a ton to his family, but also the basketball community has gone out of their way to highlight just how great of a player that he was. Certainly underappreciated, let's put it that way. The Lakers got – actually, I want to read off this tweet here because I think this is this is one of those tweets that I think kind of sums up how you look at just the position that the Lakers are in right now. Lakers and Soulful House on Twitter. I guess I'm just old because all the whining and calling Laker fans garbage, along with this entitled mindset that just because we as fans say trade for so-and-so, it's better to happen. Injuries happen, slumps happen, championships aren't easy, and they are rare. So I think that kind of puts something a little bit in perspective right there, where you got a Laker fan saying everybody just, you know, pump the brakes for a quick second. I don't know, and I mentioned this when I started off the post-game show. I don't know how things are going to change between now and the time LeBron and AD come back. I genuinely mean that. I have no idea how it's going to change. What I'm referring to there, what I mean from there, yeah, you're probably going to start losing, you know, a ton of games here. It's going to have to be a team that's not prepared to play the Lakers, or everybody is in complete connection in one game. Defense is fantastic. Offense is clicking. It's going to have to be some type of combination like that for the Lakers to win some of these games. And I could look at the schedule and you could say, oh, well, Alan, they got Philly coming up on Thursday. No Joel Embiid. Philly's still playing great basketball, and Tobias Harris is still there, and Ben Simmons is still there. They have good players. You could say, well, they got Cleveland coming up on Friday. I mean, any game that the Lakers play is going to be a tough game, specifically because of this predicament, this situation that we're in. You know, obviously, I'm referring to the Lakers being in this position right now without many of their stars. Okay, let me squeeze in one more quick call, and then we're going to go to KCP. Steve in La Habra. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? It's always a great show, great talking with you. But I just want to say, I don't know if the Lakers will win another game without LeBron and AD. I mean, every team that's going to play the Lakers are going to be pumped up to say, hey, look, we can beat you when your two big brothers aren't here. You know, and now you're coming down to where the rest of us are. And it's going to be like their Super Bowl every time they play the Lakers from here on out.
Well, Steve,
and I know during the game.
And Steve, just to add on top of that here, there is no sorries or excuse yous. You know, these specific teams will want to take advantage of the Lakers obviously struggling. And I just mentioned, Steve, the NBA standings. If you look at the standings, yet, you're not that far off from some of these teams that are in the fifth seed, the sixth seed, the seventh seed. I appreciate the call. I want to get to KCP here real quick. Here's KCP on the Lakers loss. Lakers lose 128-111. KCP's thoughts.
Hey, Kenny, Frank was talking about the offense and the emphasis that he's trying to put on figuring out a way to play that's, of course, going to be a lot different when LeBron's not in there, let alone AD and Gasol. What are you hearing from that, and what are you seeing in these last two games without LeBron specifically about how you guys are trying to get things done?
First off, just LeBron is, he's a big part of this team, this organization, and by him going down, that's a lot that we had to pick up. But as far as like just us, who's out here playing now, we got to play together, play for each other, make the extra pass, and not just going out there to being selfish. It got to be a team effort, each game. We don't have two superstars in LeBron and AD. Everything else now has to be a team effort.
And then, Kentavious, you were telling me before the break just how the shortened offseason and everything had been building for you, and you were feeling some of the fatigue. Wondered what the break did for you and how you're feeling at this point, and then what your outlook is moving forward as you guys get closer and closer to the postseason.
I'm feeling great. Just trying to stay in a good rhythm. At least trying to get back to a good rhythm. But I feel great. Body feel great. My mental is there. All around, just feel great.
Okay, next up, Kyle Goon, please.
Hey, KCP. It's trade deadline season again, and I know you've been a part of a lot of groups that sort of there's always talk around the Lakers, I guess. Are you feeling pretty secure? Does it feel different than other years? You just signed your contract, and do you feel like your role on this team is pretty defined?
I feel like my role on this team is pretty defined, and what my coach is looking for me to do on the court, as far as teammate as well. But I'm here to just do my job and do it at 100%.
Okay, Dan Wicke, please.
Casey, you talked about trying to get into rhythm. How realistic is that when that rhythm has been disrupted so many times, so many different ways here over the last few weeks, and just how, like, what is sort of the whiplash of going from like playing with a guy who's can do everything like LeBron to like just not having him?
It's a big difference. LeBron sees a lot that, pretty much most guys doesn't see on the floor. He's the most vocal out there when he's out there. We miss that a lot. It's hard, but we just got to play for each other. Try to make the easy play, a simple play, and just play basketball for each other. Driving kicks, which we have to do just to create shots for others. And we also got to play defense. We got to be able to be tough on that end as well.
Okay, Dave McMenamin, please.
KCP, the last couple of years, because you signed consecutive one-year deals, you had a no-trade clause by default. Because you don't have that this year, does it change the way you process what's out there? Look at whatever rumors are floating. Is any more of that noise entering into your sphere? Because this is the first year, I think, in 4 years that you haven't had a no trade clause.
I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm just here to do my job. If I'm in trade rumors, that's something I don't really have like control of. So I want to really just think about what I can control. And I come out here and do my job.
Got it.
Okay. Sorry. Last question, Bill Orme, please.
ACP, do you think there's any more anxiety in the locker room about the trade deadline this year just because of the uncertainty about LeBron and AD's injuries?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know who's all in the trade talk. I really haven't paid attention to it or even heard. heard anything about it. It was my first time hearing about it. But I don't know what's the man. I feel like the energy is good. You know, I don't think nobody's worried about any trade. I mean, unless they're keeping it personal.
All right, that's KCP right there. Man, I can only imagine coming towards trade deadline. We dealt with this. You remember before Lakers got Anthony Davis, all the chatter around Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and all these players, Ivica Zubac at the time. I'm sure it's a relief once you get to Thursday, one way or the other, whether you're still on the roster that you're on or you're not, at least you know one way or the other whether you're going to be with that team for the remainder of the season. Lakers lose to the Pelicans 128-111. Your phone call, some tweets coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. And I didn't get a chance to play that clip with Magic Johnson from First Take, so I'm going to do that coming up next as well. Stay right here. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, yeah, 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. A couple reminders here. Starting tomorrow, 5 a.m., Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and Travis. I will be doing the Travis and Sliwa show tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., so guys, keep that in mind. We'll continue our Lakers conversation. Of course, NBA trade deadline coming up on Thursday. I want to play something from Magic. So on First Take earlier today, Magic was talking about the situation that the Lakers are in. He gives his thoughts.
Well, I'm nervous because, you know, when you have AD and LeBron out with injuries, that is a cause of concern. And then I'm concerned about the middle, too. We are not very good at shot blocking. The things we used to be good at with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, we can't close the middle down this year. We don't have that type of length on our team. So I hope that during this trade deadline, or if somebody get bought out, that we can, you know, solve that issue. But it's going to be tough for any team to beat the Lakers if they're healthy four times in a playoff series. It's just going to be tough. So I still believe in the Lakers, but the Lakers have competition this year that they didn't have last season.
All right, a lot of good things I want to take off of that conversation with Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Molly Karam on First Take. Okay, so Magic says he's concerned about the middle. And I cannot tell you how long I've heard Laker fans talk about rim protection and the loss of JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard not in the lineup. We're going to see Dwight Howard and Danny Green, by the way, on Thursday. Lakers and the Philadelphia 76ers from Staples Center. Let me go through some big men that we've heard affiliated with the Lakers, some capacity affiliated with the Lakers, and with the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. I've always felt that the Lakers were not going to go out and make a big-time trade. I just didn't. I think that they got the pieces that they thought were necessary in the offseason, Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder. They thought Wesley Matthews was going to, you know, take the role of Danny Green. THT is evolving into a player that you just got to have on the floor. I don't know how else to put it. He's continuing to develop. Kuzma's more comfortable with his role. So I think the Lakers did what they did in the offseason to put them in this position right now, where if healthy, you're going to make some tweaks as you get close to the trade deadline. In the buyout market, you can make tweaks to take your team from not only, you know, one of the favorites to win a championship, but maybe now you separate yourself from the rest of the pack because of the buyout market. LeBron goes down with an injury. Anthony Davis obviously has been out. Dennis Schroeder was in and out of the lineup. Marc Gasol still out from health and safety protocols, passed all those, but now it's a conditioning thing, so he's trying to get back into playing form. So take all these factors in play. These are the names that we've heard affiliated with the Lakers when Magic says he's concerned about the middle. We've heard the name being thrown around of JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee, it's a little complicated with JaVale. He's on the Cavs right now. The only way the Lakers can actually get JaVale McGee is if he's traded to another team and then he's bought out. That's how the Lakers would get an opportunity to get their hands back on JaVale McGee. And I think every Laker fan would agree, if you ended up back with JaVale McGee, you'd feel comfortable. You would feel, okay, this is a guy that knows his role, helped the Lakers win a championship last year, not asking to do much, rim protector, a couple lobs, couple block shots here and there, and then he's going to go sit on the bench. We'll give you maybe 15 minutes a game. Another name that you've heard circled around the Lakers. I've heard Hassan Whiteside's name be thrown around. Hassan is up in Sacramento. He's making $2.3 million. Maybe there's a way for the Lakers to grab a player like that. The only question I have on Hassan Whiteside would be, is Hassan Whiteside, if the Lakers had an opportunity to bring him over, maybe it's in the buyout market, maybe they made a trade. Like I said, the money is not big. It's $2.3 million. It's not like you're dealing with contracts like LaMarcus Aldridge or Andre Drummond. Those guys I'm going to get into in just a second. Hassan Whiteside, the question I have with him is he all in? I mean, would this be a player that came in and said, whatever you guys need, what do you need me to do? I'm a 7-foot center. I can definitely be a rim protector. I used to clean the glass and grab all these blocks when I was in Miami, when I was in Portland, just using Hassan Whiteside's career over the last couple of years. I just don't know if Hassan has that, I'll do anything it takes for this team, you tell me, and I'll do it. Now, we've also seen players like that come play with LeBron James, and they completely buy in. So that's another name that we've heard affiliated with the Lakers. LaMarcus Aldridge, Shams Charania had reported that if he was bought out from the San Antonio Spurs, Miami, Portland, and Boston would be the leading suitors for LaMarcus Aldridge. I got a feeling it's not going to be LaMarcus Aldridge. I just got this this feeling that maybe this wouldn't be the team that LaMarcus Aldridge would want to be on. And then the home run hit, the swinging for the fences player, it's Andre Drummond. You know, Michael said this in the pregame show. He just talked about, man, I was getting ready to give him a list. Okay, Michael, these are some of the players that we've been hearing. Which one's more impactful? Before I even started my list, he said Andre Drummond. I'm like, all right, we'll do who's second and third place then. Andre Drummond, that's the one that, you know, a lot of these contenders are going to be suiting for to try and grab his services. They're going to be swinging for the fences. It won't be just the Lakers. I'm sure the Clippers will be swinging. I'm sure the Nets will be swinging. I'm sure Boston will be swinging. And I'm sure there's other teams that we're not having the conversation about right now that will be part of that conversation. So, when Magic says that he's concerned about the middle, I get what he's saying. I understand what he's getting or what he's saying, and I think the Lakers, you know, obviously are looking to address that. I had a caller call in earlier in the pregame or in the postgame show talk about Damian Jones, and one of the messages that he had was, "I really like this guy. Can the Lakers get him back?" The answer is yes, they can. And Coach had said that he doesn't feel like the door is closed necessarily on Damian Jones. But you feel like the Lakers wanted that second roster spot for one specific reason. They think they can do better. There's no other reason why you wouldn't have Damian Jones still on this roster, especially in this predicament where the Lakers are down so much size with Gasol and with Anthony Davis out. The last thing that Magic mentioned, tough for any team to beat the Lakers if they're healthy. I'm going to go back to this, and I think a lot of Laker fans would agree with this. Health typically is the most important thing when it comes to sports. You can have all the talent in the world. If all your talent is not healthy, then it's irrelevant. And this has been the case in, you know, many a playoff runs, championship runs. Every time I mention it to Michael and I look back at that championship that the Toronto Raptors had, the Raptors did not win a championship because they were better than the Golden State Warriors. The Raptors won a championship because Kevin Durant was unavailable. And in game six, Klay Thompson went down and he was unavailable for the rest of the game. That's why they won the championship. And that happens. That's part of sports. But I would feel pretty damn good that here we are sitting. Yesterday was the 60 days left until the playoffs start. 60 days, so 2 full months left before the playoffs start. I'd feel pretty damn good that when the Lakers, if the Lakers, hopefully the Lakers, get LeBron James and Anthony Davis back at some point, you know, I'm just going to, you know, throw a ballpark here. Let's say over the next 4 weeks, they will be the favorites again to win an NBA championship. And the difference this time around is not only would those two guys be healthy, but they would be fresh. That's the silver lining of this entire thing. And that is me trying to spin things here to be positive, but it's the truth as well. The tough part's going to be getting to that moment, getting to that point where LeBron and Anthony Davis are back in the lineup. They are available for the Lakers. That's going to be the tough stretch is going to be how many games are the Lakers going to lose between now and the time that those guys come back? That's a legitimate question. The tough question is going to be how many teams are going to jump the Lakers in the Western Conference standings before those two players come back? Those are legitimate concerns. But it all comes down to this. When those two players come back, depending on what Rob Pelinka does here over the next 48 hours, and when the Lakers obviously get healthy, there's going to be no team in the Western Conference that wants to face the Lakers. That's the bottom line. Can you imagine if you're the freaking Utah Jazz and you worked all season to get the number one seed and the Lakers fall all the way back to the eighth seed and you got Lakers in the first round? Can you imagine if you're the Clippers and all you're trying to do is just get to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in your franchise's history and you look at the standings, you're a third seed and Lakers are number six, you got to face the Lakers in the first round? That's the way I kind of look at this predicament, this situation. There's no, none of us can predict when LBJ and AD come back. But the beauty is Anthony Davis has already missed 21 games this year. When he does come back, and Lakers obviously going to be extremely cautious, you got to imagine that he's good to go, he's fresh, he's ready to go, where some of these other teams, some of these other all-stars might not be as fresh. I know KD's missing some time. I know now Joel Embiid is missing some time, but being fresh is just as important as anything else, and the Lakers obviously now in a position where we'll see how long LeBron James and Anthony Davis will be out for. Okay, quick reminder, tomorrow starting at 7 p.m., Travis and Sliwa show will go till 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Plus, if you missed any part of this show, we appreciate you guys being a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. You could always catch the entire postgame show on the ESPN app or on iTunes. LA, as always, thank you for tuning in. Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.